Yeah, I got it. Thank you. Alrighty. Have everybody open up the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians. Remember growing up, I always got tongue twisted on Thessalonians. Somebody's got to get spell check caught up, because every time I spell Colossians in my notes, it always says it's wrong, but it's actually right. I don't know what's going on with that one either. Hey, happy birthday. Oh, you're looking at me funny. It's not mine. Actually, Sister Billy keeps me on track with this one. Tomorrow, the church celebrates, that meets here in Hickory, 74 years of existence. Okay, so I think we ought to praise God for that. And I don't know if we'll do a cake for everybody or what, but it's something to talk about. It's something to reminisce about. But also, it can be something that we need to launch forward with. Because 74 years, I know there's people been here in and out all along. New people and people that move away, people that have passed before us. And also people who came and was looking for something and maybe didn't find something and decided to move on to other adventures. But one thing we have to realize, though, 74 years to eternity, I don't know if I can actually get my fingers that small. As long as we exist here, we are called to continue the mission of Jesus Christ on earth. And we may have lacked some in the past, and we can actually lack some in the future. But it really depends on where our minds are, where our hearts are, and do we actually understand the calling of God for us as individuals? And do we understand the calling of God as a body? I know for about 1800 years, we're still trying to break away from a Savior-based church that turned into a systematic church, and we're still trying to get back to the Savior-based church. And what I'm talking about that is in our methods. In our methods, we do a lot more of a systematic type of situation than we do the Savior and following Him in relationships. Because what's crept into our hearts and into our minds is that we believe in some form or fashion at some level that if I can avoid relationships with other people, it would be a lot better off. And that's got to get out of our heart to get back into where what we've been created for. And I don't know really where to launch that, because I believe that for some of us that have been around and blessed for many years, I totally understand the aches and pains and the ailings and the energy just not is what it used to be. But we can still do things that will support our calling. I really would love at some period of time to sit down with what was the age things that Danielle gave us as our young adults? From 18 to 39, okay? And I believe we need to hear from them. Because sometimes as I get older and I got less pepper in my head and I'm getting more salt, that I forget that the 18 to 39-year-olds have some ideas that could help us reach out to the kingdom if we would be open to change of method, but not the change of the message. And Satan has totally divided relationships over just change of method. And we need to get back to where we love each other so much that we can disagree with one another on method, that we're not going to just jump up and snort and be down each other's throats because of it. And when that happens, because I've been in meetings before, I'm not talking so much about here, but I've been in ministry now going on 25 to almost 30 years. And I've seen us talk about methods and ideas come up with ways to do things. Mostly it's not about the programs we do. Mostly it's about what we do here on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. And I've seen people get up and actually point fingers at each other and get so red-faced at each other that it dawned on me that we have missed the mark on what our calling is. Okay? And so, to keep or prevent us from being a church family that could practice the same thing, to where the point to where Satan just sits back, that the next 74 years could be a launching pad of a vision of, okay, let's find out what works, let's find out what doesn't, let's go out, let's make sure we're never changing the message about Jesus, but we're going to find maybe some different methods. One of those that will probably be the hardest for us to get over are relational methods. Because relationship seems to be not as important to us as, like, just coming here and being together. And there's only so much we can do in an hour and a half, right? Okay? There's only so much we can do. I can't really... Usually it's on the surface kind of stuff. Usually the times that I see David, he's just chipper and he's, you know, he's gone... Everybody's fine. Have you ever, do you understand that? Oh, we're so fine. You ask anybody here, how are you doing? Get ready to hear. Say it with me. I'm fine. Okay? And yet, to the point, in some ways, we never get to the level to where I can admit to somebody, I'm not fine. I need specific prayer. We can pray about other people, but what about prayers about me? We did an assignment Wednesday night, just to write down a prayer that you believe you need. And ask somebody, go to somebody and give it to them and say, please pray for me. Why is that so foreign? And maybe it's just because we need to be reminded our calling. Last week, we started just a three-part introduction of God is calling the church. He's calling us as individuals, yes, but when the individuals of God's people who believe in God, believe they that God sent his son because man had a sin problem. And he had already foreplanned this years and years in advance. And even before the creation of the world, he knew that he would need to come and redeem his people back the way he created them in the first place to be. He gave us the freedom to love him back. And when we didn't love him back, he sent his son to show us how to love him back. I mean, Jesus said plenty of times, if you truly love me, obey, then you'll obey me. And so the calling of us as individuals, the calling of us as called out ones, that have decided we're going to follow Jesus in this life. If you want a definition of Church of Christ, just say, called out ones out of the life of sin into the life of following Jesus, out of darkness and into the light. That's the definition of the called out ones following Jesus. Not the sign on the door, not a denominational making of a systematic thing that we agree with, that you can do this or you can't do that or whatever. It's the calling of God's Spirit to call our lives and our hearts and our image back to His. The church is a creation of God, not man. The church is created and built on the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and the church gets its energy to serve God and to love God by the Spirit of holiness that is sent to dwell in us when we decide to commit our lives to following Christ. It is to be the church's joy to look at God in His Word and say, what are you calling me to become? And by example, in Jesus and His disciples, and then even after Jesus went back to God, the relationships that the disciples had with each other, looking at them and letting God explain to us the design for the church, His mission for it. Not, hey God, this is the way I like church, you come down and bless it. That's not the calling of God. We need to find joy in finding out, what are you calling me to be? And I'm glad to do it because of what you've done on the cross. I'll joyfully go to the ends of the earth if you need me to be. But right now He has us in Hickory. He has us in Catawba County. Some of us are in Burke County. And our mission is not any different in Burke County and all that than over in Africa or India or all that. I mean, I know we support missionaries and we give them some funds in order that they could stay there and work with people. Brothers and sisters, never let that become a satisfying feeling in your heart that, okay, we do missions, we send money to these preachers over in India. Our mission is right here. And we can work together with it. At whatever age and whatever ailment, people can see the power of God through us. So, last week, here's the first one. Here's your fill in the blanks. God is calling the church, last week we looked at, to bring glory to Him. Now, what's that summed up in just a few words? I believe bringing glory to God actually is defined this way: to share the beauty of His Spirit. He has a beautiful spirit. It's the spirit of love. And He shows up in Jesus Christ. And I want to bring glory to Him because how beautiful His spirit is. I want Him to be recognized. I want Him to get all the bragging about. Yes, life is tough, but we've still got a lot to brag about God. God never intended for us to go through this hurt and pain. Sin brought it in. Let's be mad at Satan, go out and live holy lives, and then we'll get to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, starts out to tell us what is the second thing that God is calling us to do as a church or be as a church. I'm going to read the first 11 verses if you'd like to follow along. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. So what's our second one? Now let me go down through this first of all, and then we'll get to our second one. All right? Everybody likes to talk about, do you think it's at end of the, we're at the end days, Kevin? I'll say, well, sure, we've been at the end days. This is not to just push it off, but we've been at the end days ever since Jesus has returned back to heaven. I mean, he could have came back 2 days later. He could have came back a week later, 2 months later, but he didn't. And we're still waiting for him to come. So are we in the last days? Yeah. Even if the world exists for another 1,000 years, we're still in the last days. Okay? So Paul didn't want to just get us all caught up with, well, when's the last day? When's the last day? When's the last day? Well, I don't know. I don't know. The trumpet may not sound today, but it might be my last day. I don't know. I know eventually, if I live long enough, you've heard me say it before, this is not doom and gloom. If I live long enough, I'm going to die. You caught that, didn't you? I'm going to die. How does that make you feel? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to find joy if I live. Because I'm going to live in the light. I don't live in the darkness no more. I'm going to live in the light. I want my joy to be not so much about God's wrath. I want to live because of the joy of my salvation. You're a lot more happier serving Jesus about his salvation that he has given to you than the anger of wanting to be against sin. Maybe at times, yeah, maybe at times God will use with certain people his wrath to get their attention. But I think we need to be a people that sends out the message first about salvation, and then certain individuals, if they're just not getting it, talk about his wrath. Let's respond to his joy. Be the first thing of the salvation I can have because of my sin. Now, What's Paul trying to continue to discuss here? He's talking about you're children of the light, be sober. Really, what he's talking about there, awake and sober, is not that you're just physically asleep. It's that you're being alert, all right? You're being clear-minded in your thinking. You're being alert that today could be the day the Lord returns. Praise God if it is. Right? If he comes back today, praise the Lord. Because then we get to do it forever. If he doesn't come back, we're still on a mission. We're still on a mission. So he says, be alert. Be clear-minded about things. Put faith and love on to protect your heart, your vital area spiritually. Put on the helmet of salvation. Think about your salvation every day. Because if you think about your salvation every day, you can then have joy every day, no matter what you're facing. It'll change the tune of my heart and your heart if we can get to that point. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive the salvation through Jesus. Now, do we forget that at times? We do. We forget to think about our salvation, right? Do you understand the reason why we should come here this morning is not to go through steps of a system, but we should come here to remind each other of our salvation. Oh, we may talk about the baseball game, but oh, that's way down the... That's when we brag about God so much we've kind of just said, okay, I've bragged about him. Now it's time to talk some stuff. Let's get where we're not talking so much about the weather, baseball, football, and all that here without at least saying something that you bragged about God about. Could be some of the things that you do. And then God's amazing. God worked this way. You're not going to be looked at. At least I hope not. I hope there's nobody in this church family that will look at you funny if you bragged about God to them. If they do, we've got some work to do. If you feel uncomfortable about bragging towards God, now you might not do it like me, but you maybe just pull somebody aside and just say, I'm praying for you. I talked to a sister this morning, and I just wanted to make sure she understood. Yes, I'm praying for your mom, but I'm praying for you. And hopefully that can be some kind of a buildup. That it's not so much about the ailment, it's about the strain that's happening in her life to watch her mother go through what she's going through. And just being there for each other. I mean, I even pray for a day that there might be some huddle prayers going on. I don't even know what they're for. And they didn't even invite me in. Because something happened, somebody shared something, and two or three people gathered back in the back. Everybody else is talking, and you guys are praying because something came up. Don't wait until just write it down and give it to Tim or Purcell. Stop and start praying about it right there. I think it'll be amazing. Well, what are those people doing? Oh, they're praying. They're praying. Well, why don't they wait until the service starts? Service has already started because as soon as I woke up, it's already started. Build one another up. Remind each other about our salvation. The second part I want to read to you, and I want you to study at home, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the body concept. 12 through 27 is the area that I really wanted to examine, and maybe we'll pick up from here next week. But we can't get to the point, and I will. I'm going to start this one. This is, next week will be part two of part two. Okay? Lord's willing. And what we'll do is we want to look at the body, because Paul gives the analogy of a human body to get us to try to understand how we should feel about one another. Okay? Because you're gonna find, read it ahead of time. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. And I want to look at, how am I supposed to see you? How am I supposed to look at you? Are you important or are you not important? How are you supposed to look at other people in this church? And then what does the body do? What is the function of the body? To sit? To grow in action. Working together to bring glory to God. Makes sense. It really does. Because I guarantee you right now, if my left leg decided I don't want to be a part of this body anymore, I'm sick of Kevin, I would rather be somebody else's left leg. You would notice it, and I would have a struggle if my left leg just said, I'm not functioning. When one brother or sister decides not to function amongst the relationship as a body of Christ, it affects us, and it affects our effectiveness to the world. And we can take ownership of that altogether. Just because the mouth gets up and talks a lot, the mouth cannot do everything. The mouth needs hands, it needs feet, it needs eyes, and it needs ears. And that's who you are. Study that. We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Father, we just want to invite people here that we look at the command that you've told to your disciples. Right before you went to the Father, you told them to learn to love as you loved. And the way that you love them, they must love each other in that same way. I don't believe that call was just for them. I believe it was the call for your church. And when you look down through all the years, that's what you're calling us as a church family, to love each other like you have loved us. And I pray that we are humbled by our salvation and your power, and that we love Jesus so much that we're willing to follow him. And it's through his name we pray and say together, amen. If you need any prayer requests or any response, I know we could do that back here, up here. Let's stand and sing, "You Are My All in All," I believe is what the next song is. And the question is he? So you are my all in all. Here we go.
You are my strength when I am weak.